Have you tried changing your health year on year, resolving that this year things are going to be different, but nothing seems to change? Oftentimes, when things are not changing, we are following many wellness myths and not looking at the full picture, including our nutrition, recovery, stress management, leaving out mind-body connection. I want to introduce you to Wellness Redefined, a new podcast from Rufilion Media that's here to dispel all your myths about wellness and fitness while sharing stories of how we've redefined what it means to be healthy. On each episode, we'll be talking to experts from all walks of life who will share their own unique wellness journey and offer their perspective. I am your host, Tamika Rochester, founder and CEO of Harlem Cycle, a premier wellness space in New York City with a focus on indoor cycling. I've been an advocate for wellness since as early as I can remember. So if this sounds like something that could help change your life, go ahead and pause the show you're listening to and subscribe to Wellness Redefined on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I want, in a perfect world, I'd love to know, like, an artist, either one that could be living or deceased, that you would have loved to manage for.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Don't say Michael Jackson or R. Kelly. It's too controversial right now. It's too soon.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Between the Reps with Brooke and Gina. And today, also, Katie.
We have Katie Hund, our friend Katie.
They let me on for a very small. I'm on a probationary.
She's on without a microphone.
Yeah, I'm keeping it from her.
I'm literally way over here.
Just don't yell.
Oh, I've already fucked it up. I'm a Siamese twin with Gina. We are sharing headphones and a microphone.
We are. I'm in charge of it.
How sad is it that we only have two pairs of headphones?
I can't touch the microphones.
I know.
She can take it away at any point in time.
I know. It's like we're like in a closet. You know, like when you're a kid and you'd like shut all the lights off and sit in the closet and like chat. This is what we're doing right now.
We also have another guest. So you guys, we wanted to talk about Coachella today, because that's happening or happened. In fact, that's how much I know about it. I thought maybe there was another weekend, but it's actually passed. And I've been to Coachella one time, and I went with a friend of mine. His name is Mike Finn, my love him dearly, bestest, closest friend. And I got to go look at my best friend sitting next to me. I'm like, what the
fuck? Both of us are like, Mike, what the hell is going on? You're her best friend now?
We thought it was just a war between me and Gina.
She uses this word way too loosely. This is a,
it's like
going to war.
It's like Daniel with his favorite of everything.
Yeah.
But my first time and last, my only time going to Coachella, I got to go with Mike, and he is a tour manager for Dylan Francis, and I got to experience it on like the behind the scenes and not necessarily as someone who is just going to the festival. I did obviously get to go and like watch people perform, but I really got to see the side that it's a job. And like I've known that, you know, people that are,
sure,
that are DJs, it's their job. But until I got to actually see all the work and the production that goes into building something like that, I didn't fully click.
Right. You just think it's a party for everyone.
So you guys,
a hot, dirty party.
Right.
So on that note, hi, Mike.
Hi.
Hi.
Mike, tell everyone where you are right now.
I'm currently in a hotel room in Santa Monica, chilling 10 hours before I get on a red eye flight.
And that's pretty much like your life all the time, right?
In a nutshell.
Yeah.
Yeah. In a nutshell. At least I have an ocean view this time.
That is nice. That's awesome. Looking directly into Katie's eyes.
I just literally turned around and looked behind me to see who she was looking at.
Who, me?
What?
Oh my God, thanks.
We are sitting on Gina's couch drinking champagne.
Very close to each other.
We are.
Yeah.
Very close to each other.
So, Mike, are you in bed?
Yeah.
Nice.
Absolutely.
Yes. Are you under the covers or on top of the covers?
I'm on top.
Okay.
I'm kind of working, but I'm not at the same time.
Got it.
Are you guys in bed? Where are we going with this conversation?
It's got so
I did not.
This just took a weird turn. It took a weird turn. No, anyway, that's where I would be. I would just be sitting on my bed.
She's just jealous that you're in bed.
Yeah, and I'm hunched over sharing headphones with Katie on a couch.
And Brooke and I just worked out together, so we're...
Yes, they're smelling really good.
Well, you also just worked out,
well,
Gina.
I know, but I didn't work out that hard. Let's be honest. I don't sweat that often.
I work out just to the point where I start sort of sweating,
and then I'm like,
stop.
I'm good. I glisten.
Oh, sorry, brain fart. So when I came with you to Coachella, was that wasn't your first time being there?
That was my first.
It was your first time. Had you been there? And no, you definitely had not. You're not really a festival kind of person, right? You work in an industry that it really is your job, like tour manager, but like as far as anything outside of going to festivals or to shows, outside of being there for work, that's not your thing.
Well, I mean, I got started going to shows.
Okay.
Like, that's what made me fall in love with, like, music and all that stuff.
Yeah, but like what type of music?
I grew up in like a Boston hardcore punk scene. So I kind of grew up going to being like a little, can I swear on this?
Yeah, absolutely. Fuck.
Yeah, the podcast. I was like a little shitty punk kid from Boston and going to like hardcore and punk shows and starting to go on tour with like friends' bands that sell their t-shirts and sleep on basement floors and I don't know, shave mohawks. I don't know.
Started from the bottom. Now you're here.
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
I mean, started from sleeping on floor selling t-shirts to, you know, I don't know, about to take a red eye flight, but ocean you got an ocean view.
Ocean view hotel room. Come on.
It's pretty nice.
That's right. That's the right way to think about this.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, and then. Yeah, just one thing led to another. Started selling t-shirts and like hanging out with my friends on the road and in a van. And then you just meet more people and then they meet somebody and kind of turns into a snowball effect. And I never worked with a company or anything. So it's just been kind of going off of like who I've met. And eventually after a while, just building up your resume and people start to hear of you more than you hear of them. And you reach out, and, you know. Start getting calls for different opportunities, you know?
Was working for Dylan your first tour managing job?
No, I've been touring since 2008.
Whoa, that's
so
a long
I'm
time.
I'm going on 11.
As a tour manager?
11 years.
Wow.
11 years March. So, yeah, just 11 years.
It's a long time.
Dylan was the first DJ I've ever tour managed, or I've ever tour managed, but I did mostly bands and pop acts prior to that, and right before Dylan I was doing a conservative and I realized that wasn't the right fit, but yeah, and then I got hired for Dylan and I've been with Dylan since September of 2014, so going on 4.5 years.
When it comes to I obviously don't know everything that goes into that. I've seen a little bit of what you're doing. And when we were at Coachella, it's like I see you before you start. And then I sort of see you after, because you have obviously a lot of stuff you have to manage and put things together and make sure it's all running correctly. But mm-hmm. what would you say is like one of like maybe one of the hardest things about managing? We'll keep it on Dylan, like managing a DJ and like what that takes to get those shows up and running.
DJs are weird in the sense of like they don't have any gear, so they just need their computer, and with that the schedule of a DJ can be very taxing, and then you're trying to coordinate how you're doing multiple shows in one night in different states and different time zones, and you have to somehow make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess like at the Coachella level, we have like Dylan's crew goes anywhere from 10 people to 40 people. So when Coachella, for example, we have like 43 people in 2017. Like that just takes a lot of managing and delegating and just trusting the guy that work with you. And you really depend on each department to kind of withhold their own, because you can't micromanage on a situation like that. But time is always like the biggest factor, because you can only set things up within 30 minutes of before him going on. So it leaves very little room for error, specifically talking to Coachella. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just, I think the hard part is just managing the, you know, the people, and also keeping the artist's goals and visions alive, and trying to translate that to actuality. I think that's definitely hard to do sometimes, but once you're able to kind of understand the artist, you're able to, drive his.
Probably have to run a really tight ship.
Yeah. I have a workspace and I have a not workspace. And I like my not workspace sometimes. I would never work for me.
Do you have a work nickname? Do you have a work nickname that people call you?
No.
He's no. No. Really? He's like, no. Sure? My name is Mike. It's who I am.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, if there's any nicknames, they're probably not nice and they're probably said behind my back. And that's fine too.
Same. But the difference with DJs is like, I know that like the hours are kind of crazy, because like if it's like a regular artist, they're going on at like, say, like, you know, 8 or 9 or 10 or whatever. But a lot of these DJs like go on at like 2 in the morning or something, depending on where you're at, right?
I mean, those are only the nightclub shows. Now it's like all the festivals and all the one-off, like the normal venue shows that we do.
Okay.
Come off stage at like a somewhat more reasonable time, you know, 11, 12 o'clock at night, which is still kind of later to some, but then when he does his residency in Vegas, that's the 1 to 3 a.m. shift, and that's
so you're basically a vampire.
A
yeah, it would be brutal.
Or like,
if it's like a Wednesday or Thursday show, like you're going to bed when New York City is waking up, and so you're already going to bed with emails coming in and, you know, questions being asked, and you have to somehow go to sleep and wake up with
you go get in your casket.
Way more of them. Yeah.
Well, it's like when every like New Year's Eve, when I've like heard your schedule, it's insane. Like on New Year's Eve, what's the most shows you guys have played?
We did four shows in one day, technically 24 hours.
That's like them getting on a plane, going somewhere, going on.
Oh, not in the same place.
Going straight to a plane, flying, playing somewhere else.
Yeah,
plane.
Oh my God.
We did Lake Tahoe, got on a jet, did two shows in San Diego, and then our jet got grounded, and we ended up driving back to L.A., and then we did L.A. within 24 hours. And then we've also done like Seattle, Lake Tahoe to Seattle to LA. Is it like, it is, where else have we done? Oh, a couple years ago, we did Portland, Oregon to Chicago to New Jersey, up to Los Angeles to New Jersey.
Within what, that like how many awful. Hours?
That was 2 days.
Sounds miserable.
Well, and then, but then you think about like all the time change too. Like it's like one place to really to another. Mike doesn't sleep very much.
Yeah, I was going to say.
No.
He's a day sleeper.
I'm the king of a power nap.
Power nap.
Yeah.
I can't take
a
power nap.
Give me like 15 minutes and cold brew and just have it on IV and I'm good to go.
Nice. Cold brew coffee.
Yeah. How hot was it at Coachella this year?
Oh, it was perfect. It was like last weekend one, it was like 91, 92 every day. So it was
That's
amazing.
Pretty good for
it was
there, right?
Dry.
What's the hottest it's been?
I have no idea. 2 years ago, it was like 104.
Yeah, it was hot.
Miserable.
In the desert. Okay, I have a question for you, Mike.
Then,
sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. How hot was Brooke in her neck brace at Coachella? Not just looking, like, but actually, like the weather.
More worried. You know what? I'd be throwing it into the category of like some serious like under boob sweat. I'm guessing. I don't know. I did not touch. I did not touch either her under boob or her neck brace. So I don't. Right. But I would like to think that it was probably vile.
Did you wash that neck brace after?
No.
I just feel like it would be covered with makeup on the top.
So,
like a dirty turtleneck.
For the listeners, when I went to Coachella, it was post cervical fusion that I had, and I had a neck brace. I remember Gina was like, we wanted to decorate it.
Yeah, we were going to put flower chains all over it. I just, right? And I just kept like thinking of like Brooke, because like, as soon as the music comes on, she can't like not move. And I was like, you know, she's not supposed to move at all. And I was like, she's just going to look like a robot up there.
Just bouncing up and down. Yeah. Like can't turn my head left or right. Like trying to look like a full body turn to look to my left or my right to see if everyone else is having a good time.
I just kept imagining it thinking like, oh my God, so funny.
The looks that she was getting at the pool were the part of the trip. Just because everyone's like, Why is this like insanely jacked, beautiful blonde girl walking around but like has a neck brace? Like, what
seriously
wrestler is she? Like who did she put through the folding table on WWE?
Right. I hate to be
don't
the
mess
other
with
person.
That one. Don't mess with that
All
girl.
All I'm picturing is the girl that dates Long Duk Dong in 16 Candles.
Oh,
thanks, I think Katie. Did I just age myself?
Yeah, I think you just age yourself. Where she's trying to drink out of the water fountain and can't reach it because she's got the neck brace on. Yes, yes.
It was a soft collar.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, you could take it off.
Okay, so I went to Coachella in a neck brace. It was awesome. I went one day. Mike, would you take us through, I guess, doing Coachella, like what that was like for you, beginning to end?
There's a lot of people Instagramming themselves.
Yeah.
And to work your way around Instagram model. That's Coachella in a nutshell.
I saw a meme the other day. Like, I mean,
is that what you were asking?
Well, you know, yeah, it's exactly what I was asking. Before I let you actually tell me the business, you know, side and what it takes to make that thing work, or maybe some stories that you might have from
Coachella. Yeah, I want to hear
the
good stories.
I did see a meme the other day that was saying that like Coachella was the best thing that ever happened to LA because it took all of the Instagram people out of LA. They all left.
Oh, that's funny.
And I'm laughing about Instagram when I'm.
I know. Yeah.
But no, like for you guys planning that show, like when you found out you guys were going to play it.
Oh, we signed out roughly about 6 months before. Or by usually September the year prior, find out if we're doing it. Hold on. Can you guys still hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, so usually by September, we find out that we're playing it. So by end of the year, at that point, we just kind of keep it in the bank and know that we will have to work with stage designers and production people to come up with, you know, a Dylan-specific design. And then we usually start that process around November. And by January-ish, we're relatively full on. A design's been approved. Dylan likes it. We all approve it. In the meantime, I'm working on budgets to make sure we, you know, are keeping things, you know, moving in a business matter for us financially. Kind of just finalizing the like bits and bobs of what companies are going to provide what gear, where we're going to rehearse, who's actually going to be working there, where we're going to sleep, how we're going to get there, how we're going to get to and from the festival. And then you kind of just chip away at the checklist as you get going. And then we start rehearsals. You try to loop them into the like the show week. So we usually rehearse for the entire week prior to the festival, just in some warehouse or a facility that can hold a lot of lights and video panels and stuff. So and then come show day is just I usually go in a couple of days early to get checked in to the hotels, to the festivals, go walk the grounds with our security team, make sure that we have, you know, action plans in place should an emergency happen. And then Dylan will arrive usually the night before. And he'll stay at the hotel with everybody. And from there, we'll get ready for show day. The crew loads in usually around 2 a.m. the night before. And they'll work from like 2 to 8 a.m. setting everything up and making sure it all works on stage. And then they'll load off stage, be stored to the side. So come showtime, we only have 30 minutes to set up everything back on stage and be ready to hit go. And at that point, we usually have our entire crew, which is around 40 people, but then we have an additional 25 people that are provided by the festival. So you have a good 60 or so people kind of like helping you build whatever you're building. And then you hit start and start playing. Once the show's on its way, it's kind of at that point just in God's hands. I don't know.
Jesus, take the wheel.
Nothing goes wrong. And,
yeah, just hope.
Yeah.
Hope and pray.
We're all on comm systems. So we have microphones in different positions. Microphones in different positions spread throughout the stage as well as at the soundboard, so we can be communicating to the whole team should issues arise. The festival goer should not know about them because we're trying to take care of them without them realizing. So, and then after the show's done, our semi truck pulls to the stage and we break down as fast as possible, put the gear in the truck, and send it away.
And that you said that.
And
that's
then
about,
we usually.
How much time have to? How much time is that usually like to kind of get down your stuff off the stage because someone else has to be loading on, right? Typically.
Yeah, we're usually off stage in 6 to 8 minutes.
Oh my god! I was going to say like 30 minutes.
And then we're usually within 2 or 3 hours. So, because we have to take like the individual lights off and break down the individual pieces, make sure they can all fit into a box to get shipped out.
So with rehearsal happening, obviously you said like Dylan doesn't show up till like the night before, day before rehearsing. Mm-hmm. Do you already have like a pretty good
set,
like a base set of what he's going to be playing, and you guys are just checking sort of lights and video and all that kind of stuff? Is that
if it's a good day, we do, but most of the time we don't. So it's more or less just going off of the song you know he's going to play. Mm-hmm. And then he comes in for rehearsals, which he'll usually sit for about 2 days to sit with our creative team. That's when we can really dial in transitions and intros and encores, yada, yada, yada. So,
I think if I went to Coachella, I would just want to watch the setup and the cleanup of the stages.
Well, just like Katie's a party
behind the scenes. Behind the scenes.
Yeah. So I do like event production, and I don't think I would want to watch any of the music. I would just go set up in the front, watch everything. That's what I did when you were at regionals. Everyone went to get drinks and stuff during the breaks, and I would sit and watch all the volunteers moving everything and building everything. And then when it comes time for the music, I just go take a nap or something.
Oh my God.
Because I'm too short to enjoy any sort of music festival.
She would need to be in the front to be able to see. Yeah. And if she was in the front, she would die.
I would die. But I just want to watch the setup and the cleanup and call it a day.
I mean, that's cool. I'm obsessed with that stuff for some reason, too. I was on tour with John Mayer in 2010.
Oh my God, you just got Katie so excited.
I love John Mayer. Did you watch his Instagram live where he made an 8 out of tape and scissors?
Where he made.
Okay.
I did not.
Yeah, everyone's like, what do you mean? Well, now you're going to have to explain it.
Wait, don't all of you watch his Instagram live?
If anyone's a real John Mayer fan, they will watch his Instagram live and they're hilarious. That's it.
He made an 8, like a number 8.
He's really into cutting out numbers, and he did a whole live, and I watched the whole thing, and it really made my day.
Of him cutting out numbers.
Did you learn
anything?
You
have to be a super fan if you want to watch somebody cut numbers out on a piece of paper.
It was super therapeutic, like just really relaxing to watch.
Oh my God, just stop.
It was therapeutic to watch John Mayer cut a number 8 out of a piece of paper.
Okay, you know what?
That's when you know you're famous. It's like, I don't even really have to do anything. I'm just going to sit here and cut numbers. Cut numbers out on this piece of paper right now. Yeah. Hey, anybody want to watch me brush my teeth? Hey.
Okay, you know what? There's going to be a few people that watch that too, and we're all going to just band together.
We're going to get some more fans. Perfect.
A lot more followers after this.
All right, now you can go back, Mike, to telling us about being on tour with John Mayer. Now that Katie's got it out of her system.
She's gotten her fan moment over out of the way.
Gina, just let me hold the mic.
I freaked out.
Katie, you got to stop talking because Mike's trying to tell this story. Continue.
Well, the long story short is I just used to wake up early and watch him load in. There's really nothing to it.
Damn it. You weren't actually friends with him? Sheesh.
No, I stole his phone number, but he's never answered. Okay.
I have a feeling he wouldn't answer for me either.
He's like, this Katie person has to stop calling.
What if I just send him videos of me cutting out 8s or 9s?
Yeah. I don't know what to say.
I'm assuming he's changed it, but I'm texting it to Brooke now if you guys want to call him later.
Yes. I'm too nervous. I'm in a full sweat right now. Full sweat. Just nervous.
Gina,
I'm sorry. I got up to try to refill our champagne, but there is none left.
Gina didn't have her headphone in. So what he was saying is that, because he said that he got up early to watch John Mayer like load in.
Oh yeah.
And he goes, long story short, this is what I did. And Katie was like, oh, I thought you were going to say so you're saying you're not best friends with him?
Yeah. If you were Brooke, you would say he was your best friend. She calls everyone her best friend.
Mike said that he stole his phone number.
No.
But he won't return his calls or texts.
Oh. He just texted it to you, so maybe next week on the podcast, if you guys will let me back, we'll call John Mayer.
No, my God. We're not doing that.
We call John Mayer on our podcast. All right, guys, we're going
to
try calling John Mayer.
We should just, every single podcast, try to call John Mayer at the beginning of it and just see if he answers.
You know what? I'm going to start my own podcast. It's me calling John Mayer weekly.
For the entire 30 minutes. Wait, guys, I'm pretty sure this is the time he's going to pick up.
Oh, my God.
Gravity.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, back to poor Mike, who's laying on his...
He was trying to get this over with. He was starting to tell about John Mayer.
Oh, okay.
But you had just handed off the microphone to Katie. And I was...
I'm sorry.
And then she starts talking. I was like, stop talking.
I know, I was
talking.
In charge of it. Sorry. Caught me sleeping on the job, drinking on the job.
Is there someone that... In a perfect world, I'd love to know, like, an artist, either one that could be living or deceased, that you would have loved to manage for.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Don't say
Michael Jackson or R. Kelly. It's too controversial right now. It's too soon.
Honestly, if there's any artist that I love, I don't want to work for them.
Oh, good answer.
True.
Good answer.
Same. It's totally same.
I just would rather be a fan and appreciate their music, because I don't think not everybody is exactly how they are perceived to be, you know?
That's true.
What about Johnny Cash?
I feel like he'd be horrible to...
I mean, he was a dick, but I would love to watch him every night.
Yeah, you're right.
I have a question. Did you see...
I mean, I love him.
Did you go see anyone when you were at Coachella, or were you just working? And if you didn't get to see... Like, who would you have wanted to see if you could?
This year.
This year.
I saw... So, first weekend, I didn't really see anybody. Or I saw my friend's band called Turnstile, but they're a smaller, like, punk band, which was really cool to see a band like that play Coachella. And then... Saturday night, I didn't watch anybody. Weekend one. Sunday, I'm obsessed with this guy from Ireland called Dermot Kennedy.
Oh, I've heard of him.
He's amazing. And he played Sunday at 6 o'clock. And we were on Sunday as well, so I went to the venue early and checked him out. And also, my friends now work for that girl named Billie Eilish.
I love her.
So I went and watched her. I went to her rehearsals before Coachella and watched like a full run through there. And then I saw her at Coachella. That was weekend one. And then weekend two, I had my friend join me. So I was like trying to be a good host as well as like not trying to work the whole time. Hopefully Dylan doesn't listen to this. So Dermot Kennedy, I saw, but then week two, I went and watched 1975. Cool. Let's see that. All right, 1975 Friday, and then Saturday. Saturday Dylan had a pool party, and then we rushed back to see. Griffin, the DJ Griffin.
Oh, yeah.
Very good show.
I like Griffin.
Very good show. If you guys want to know what kind of music I like, and this is going to offend some of your fans, and I'm sorry, but I like music that of a basic white blonde girl from Arizona.
This is the perfect time for us to just, for you to tell, mostly Gina, because she'll love this, you're from Spotify. your year in 2018 playlist.
Yes, tell me.
I'm like a basic sorority girl that listens to metal and hardcore that also will only listen to acoustic versions of pop ballads and Mariah Carey.
Mariah Carey.
That was on 2018.
His 2018 playlist.
Because Spotify made your playlist, tell you. And I was with him, and we were just laughing about it because like what his first songs were in comparison to like what mine were on my list.
You can tell a lot about a person.
It's like exactly like that, just ballads and Mariah Carey. But I say that because Gina loves music that like I'll roll in when she's like in the bathroom getting ready, and I'm like, oh my god, like are you in here crying?
Oh yeah,
I do. I like some moody music.
I like.
She's always like, "God, are you depressed?"
I don't listen to music in the shower because I'll just stay in there and cry.
Yeah, no, that's the same.
Yeah, mood. She says it all the time. She's like, "Wow, are you like really depressed or like what's going on?" I'm like, "No, I just really like this. It's just moody music."
Yeah, mood. I always like. I'll find myself when I'm in like you know a sad mood or whatever, and listening to music that's not necessarily making me happy. It's really hitting home, you know. And I'm like, well, I need to try and change this, but I can't. And I just like keep changing the song, and it's like sad, sad.
No, you've gotten into my car before, and you're like, really? Is this what we're going to listen to? Can we please change this? I'm like, fine, give me one of your playlists.
I can't. All right, Mike. Thanks
for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for jumping on a call. I know that it was last minute.
That's it.
Hey,
you did it.
I'm gonna let you know how it goes with John Mayer, but if I might need your help, okay?
Okay. I mean, I can offer literally no help, but I'm just looking at what I can do.
But between you and me, I think we're going to make it happen.
I have faith. In
Mike. I feel more confident now than I did an hour ago.
Hey.
He's like, I don't.
That's what I'm here for.
That's what I'm here for.
Yeah, that's what you're here for.
Someone needs confidence. That's all that matters.
Oh, it's me.
All right.
All right. You're the best. Thank you so much for taking a little bit of time.
No worries. Just send me who I need to make this invoice out to.
Yeah, you can make it out to Katie Hunt.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Wiley Weddings.
Send your invoice to Wiley Weddings. But I'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Get some rest before you get ready.
All right, bye guys.
All right, bye.
Bye.
That was awesome.
I love him.
Such a good guy for just letting us call him in the middle of what he's doing.
Because you guys know that sometimes me and Gina just don't have a plan. But since we have Katie on and I got to go running here in just a second, I feel like, what are you looking at me for? Yeah, I have to run.
I thought we already worked out together today.
Brooke's an actual athlete. That's the difference.
She does more than one workout.
Yeah, I know. It's like three usually.
No, occasionally. I think this is the perfect time for you to plug Wiley Weddings.
Oh, hey.
Plug it, bitch.
I don't know how to do that.
Well, tell people about it.
Well, I do event.
Just make sure you
can't hold the microphone.
Into the microphone.
Well.
Not on it. It's not a dick.
No.
Don't put your mouth on it. It's a very substantial sized penis, if it were. Go ahead.
Well, I do event coordination, wedding planning, works with brides and grooms to make their day happen. I'm a florist.
She is a florist. She's a fantastic florist.
Gina's personal florist.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I do anniversaries, funerals, if anyone's,
needs flowers for that.
Put it in your will, Gina.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, because I'm just right around the corner. Thanks, Katie.
No, I already told you I'll never let you die.
Thank you.
So, Wiley Weddings, since people are like, oh my God, these cackling hens.
Best friends. Yeah.
We're best friends. So Wiley Weddings, yeah. Santa Cruz, California.
We travel everywhere.
She travels everywhere.
If you pay for it.
So do you have a website?
Yeah.
Or an Instagram for Wiley Weddings?
Yeah, it's all Wiley Weddings.
Okay, well, plug it.
W-Y-L-I-E. It's my middle name is Wiley. That's really where it came from.
I didn't know that.
Katie Wiley.
You're my best friend. Catherine Wiley sounds better.
Okay, Catherine Wiley.
And my social security number
Catherine Wiley sounds old.
Catherine Wiley Hund.
Now we're all laughing at my name.
Katie Wiley.
Cool.
No, Katie Wiley's young.
And do you know Wiley's that hund means dog in German?
We brought you
hound.
On here. The hound.
I'm not the hound.
We're going to call her the hound.
I'm Brienne
from Game of Thrones.
I'm going to name Wiley. Wiley Hound.
There was a random guy at the gym that his dog was named Wiley, spelled exactly the same as my.
Yeah, because it's a good dog name.
It is a good dog name.
Well, it's my name too.
I know. Everyone's like, you guys are such bullies.
Only to each other. All right, so Wiley Weddings. If you need any event planning or florals or flowers done, Katie's great. She's amazing.
If you want a birthday party, if you know anyone that's turning 48 this year.
49.
Damn.
Best friends.
I know. So close to 50.
49. If anyone you know is turning 49 and needs a really nice dinner party, you can come to my secret garden in the backyard.
You're their girl.
It is amazing. At Katie's house, she has tons of plants and things where when she's doing florals or arrangements or things like that, she just goes outside and
she throws amazing parties. You just have to clean up the dog poop.
I'm a good forager, but I'm not a good dog poop picker upper.
No, you're not.
I'm a good forager.
Dog poop picker upper.
I only
like picking up hot poop, not cold poop.
Okay, I would rather do the old hard poop. Yeah, we got to wrap
this up.
That's a
whole other one. We're going to wrap it up. Love you guys. Thanks for listening. I know that Katie's crazy. We will definitely table the idea of having her back on. Feel free to leave in the comments if you want her back.
Assuming this was my first and last time, so it's been great talking to you all. And if I ever see you again,
we'll let you know if Cher gets a hold of John Mayer.
So, oh my gosh, Gina,
people are going to be wondering if I'm going on a date with John Mayer.
Okay, so we'll definitely
try
and call John Mayer.
Okay, it's gone to a date now. Yeah, she's delusional.
What do we need people to do for us, Gina Marie?
We need you to rate, review, subscribe, five star rating, and we love you guys and thanks for listening.
Yeah, hopefully you were entertained or enjoyed meeting Katie and enjoyed meeting Mike. And we'll talk to you next week.
Bye, guys.
Talk to you if they let me back.
Okay.
All right, bye, guys.
Bye.